and rented a car, and then I've been driving down all the way from Boston, stopping every couple hours to play a show. Tomorrow, and then I fly to Portland, and I do two shows there, and Seattle, and Besson Island, and then I'm asleep. Posters. My sister Lil is here. She'll sell posters. I'll come out and sign shit. But of course, we're from our dear friend Wes Free. I met Wes Free on September 5th, 1997. It was love at first sight. Walked in the door of his house on Mechanicsville Road outside of Richmond, Virginia, and it was floor to ceiling his artwork. And which all looks, if you know anything about the drive-by truckers, it's that art. And we became very, very super close friends. He's like a member of my band. He's like a brother. And this year he passed away on September 4th, one day short of 25 years to the day when we met. And but I just want y'all to see something. Look how fucking good looking you made me. I'll never be as skinny or as good looking ever again as Wes Free. Maybe on his presence. So, let's play some songs.
If you haven't gone to see that movie, The Fablemans, I really liked it a lot. And, this song's not in it. But it is. Truly. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Thank you. When they fall out, Uncle Disney, all this town's gonna be just fine. America's just a giant theme park. Put on them mouse ears and get in line. When they thaw out Uncle Disney, boy, won't he be surprised. Cartoon cures for all our cancers, thunder clouds in the Florida skies.
See my family the day after tomorrow, and I haven't seen them since the day after Thanksgiving. So. I wrote this song when my oldest was a baby, and or at least little. And back then, it's like you'd be the day before you leave for a tour is always just the worst day because like everyone's pissed at you. The dog's mad at you. The cat's mad at you. They see the suitcase at the door. Everyone's pissed. You know, mom's mad. Everyone's mad. All these years later, it's not a goddamn bit better. It's exactly the same shit. Exactly. Everyone's still mad. This one's called Leaving Town. On the bedroom floor, suitcases and clothes galore. Everyone's just a little bit sore when it comes to leaving town. Sister ain't got much to say. The unexpected in the worst of spaces. Mama's gonna be pissed all day when it comes to leaving town. You're told without a fuss, run the errands and load the bus. Don't forget to give a damn about us when it comes to leaving town. Add 3 hours to the old town zone, faces on the Jetsons telephone. Sing your song and then bring it back home in 3 weeks' time. More tours till the end of the year. Thank God the
the store sells more beer. It's nearly leaving time, and I know everything's gonna be okay. I know it's harder when daddy's away, but I carry on with me everywhere, every night and day. Taking us all to a whole bunch of places.
Day job is I play in the band Drive-By Truckers, and it's truly the best job on earth, and I love it, and we've been together almost 27 years. Holy shit, we're like old enough to like really like OD and fuck up our lives. Mike Cooley and I. The Drive-By Truckers was our fourth band. Some people don't learn. We had three bands before that. He and I hit 38 years this coming August. Isn't that amazing? You know how shitty the Rolling Stones records were when they've been together 38 years? I can tell you. Punch up. We spent a lot of time on the road, and it's awesome, and you know, sometimes it's not, and sometimes you have that drive from Sioux Falls all the way to Missoula, Montana. It's a long drive, and you gotta stop. The driver's not legally allowed to not stop. We used to have drivers that didn't stop, but they've cracked down. I don't know, we hire better bus companies now, whatever. The driver stops, you're in some place on the side of the interstate for basically 12 hours, hoping the driver's sleeping and not scoring crystal meth. And that's happened too. But we've got to go to the CB shop. Who has CB radios anymore? I do. Yeah, I know you do. 10-4, big buddy. So this particular day, this was January of 2018, and we stopped for our legally required stop just outside of Gillette, Wyoming. Now, I've never actually been to Gillette, Wyoming. I'm sure it's beautiful. I'm sure it's a wonderful, wonderful place. But all I've really seen is an off-ramp of I-90 just outside of Gillette, Wyoming. And I can tell you, it looks exactly like every other fucking off-ramp, every other interstate in America. We're starving, and it's like, well, let's all check into the motel. We're Holiday Inn Express. I'll check into the motel and meet out in, you know, 10 minutes, and we'll go, three-star Mexican. So, three-star Mexican in Gillette, Wyoming, it's your best bet. It's going to be covered in melted cheese. It's gonna, even if it sucks, it's gonna be delicious. And so I walked out the door. We were the only thing in the parking lot. It had snowed like a week or two earlier, and you know, it doesn't melt up there because it's colder than shit. And it was like black ice and black snow in piles around the empty parking lot. And then like a movie picture, our bus is on the far end of the parking lot, just surrounded by the patches of black ice, and above it is a giant billboard for the Oasis tanning salon. I have no idea why that would equal a song, but by the time I got to the 3-star Mexican, I wrote the first verse on a napkin, and then I ran back to the Holiday Inn Express and I finished it. This is called 21st Century USA. Restaurant behind the AutoZone, and the place is honking payday loans. There's a Kmart and a KFC, a fitness center and an Applebee's, Wells Fargo and a Taco John's, a good time bar to get your bad swerve on. In the town that's named for razor blades, all American but Chinese made, folks working hard for shrinking pay, 21st century USA. We got jobs where the work is hard, stores to max out your credit cards. In a town that ain't nowhere near, just like every town everywhere, folks working hard for shrinking and pay.
song of your free phone decides to call your bluff. When all of your resolved mind dissolve into your cups, we will never wake you up. We will never wake you up. The season of our discontent has given way to torment. The states that you were born in disappeared without a warning. Simple evolution isn't working as a solution. We will never wake you up in the morning. Metaphorically inclined towards crossing over state lines, you drifted down upon the destinations you were inclined. Until you lost all sight of your place in the design, your alarm clock is ringing at your bedside. You drift into narcotic splendor of your never-ending bender, eyes glazed but somehow smiling like the haze above the skyline. Down another glass, then drift off from our grasp. We will never wake you up in the morning. We will never wake you up in the morning. And the heaven that awaits you is a bar that never closes, and a line that crosses the toilet tank for everybody's nose.
Job at the sawmill, I bought my girl a ring.
was taking me, we were several miles from home. Back then it wasn't fitting for a girl to leave alone. And sweeter than she asked me to walk her to the door, as innocent as children back before the war. And my sweet Annette was left standing at the altar. My sweet Annette was left standing at the altar.
Thank you.
So, once upon a time, I was going to try to write this book, and there's been more than one. But there's a long list of that book. But this particular that book was going to be called Slam Dancing in the Pews. And it was basically about the year I was 27, and maybe a year or two after. But it was like where I basically had a head-on collision with life and almost didn't live through it. The main character's band just broke up, and he just got divorced, and his car got stolen. A lot of things happened to that guy that really seemed familiar to me, so it wasn't hard to write about it. And there's this character in the book, and his name's Billy Ringo. And he's a fictional character, but kind of know him, and know maybe more than one of him, but one in particular. So you know that friend that you can call on at 3 in the morning when the shit's coming down? You're about to go to jail. The dude's banging on the bedroom door, saying he's going to kick it down and blow everyone inside's brains out. And you're in there and you're calling that friend that can bail you out of a jam in the middle of the night, and he'll drop whatever they're doing to save your fucking ass. That's not Billy Ringo. The phone will ring and ring and ring, and Billy Ringo will not answer it. But if you're at the bar and they've just called last call and you're taking a piss and you look down and someone dropped an 8-ball on the ground, your phone will ring. That's Billy Ringo. Billy Ringo once got shot going fishing. And I'd like for you to ponder that for just a second, because that may be the most redneck shit I've ever said in my life. And it's true. It really happened to Billy Ringo, whether he's a fictional character or not. And you know, it's okay to have those friends. It's okay to have that Billy Ringo friend. Just know the difference. Know that that's not the guy you call at 3 in the morning to bail you out of trouble, because he's not going to do it. He's the guy who your phone will ring when you find the 8-ball on the floor in the bathroom. And it's just important to know the difference in life. And because we're all going to fuck up. But, you know, it's kind of important to know who you're fucking up with and what level of counting on them you can go to. One morning, we've been out carousing and drinking and taking pills. He always had pills. He had the best weed. Oh, my God. This guy, he could drive down the windiest, curviest back road in his 4-door Honda Accord at exactly 5 miles an hour below the speed limit, steering with his knees while rolling an absolutely perfect joint. It looked like it came out of a machine. It was amazing. So one morning, he'd been up late, and his head was pounding, and he got up to take something for it, and then he saw that bong sitting there on the kitchen table from the night before, and bubble, bubble, bubble. He's sitting there bubbling that thing, and the phone rings, and for some reason he felt compelled to answer it. He normally wouldn't. He wasn't necessarily someone who answered the phone, but he, for some reason, felt compelled to answer the phone, and he got up to answer it, and he kind of got a head rush from how it, and he fell out the 3rd-story window. But he caught himself in the nick of time while still holding onto the bong and not dropping it. And when he was telling me the story later that night at the bar, he said, that sumbitch was still smoking. That's Billy Ringo, and that's better than the truth. Says the fish don't bite. Can't get a break to save my life. Get a break for all my life. Fell out the window with the glass bong in his hand. On the ground he did land.
back with the smoking in his hand. Billy Ringo says he nearly crashed his car on the winding roads not far from the house he used to live in. Said he fell thin tires lifting off the pavement, but he made it home in time, and he made it home by five. And he said, I'm only looking for an acceptable level of bullshit I can live with, but something's gotta give. And I never could stand that son of a bitch there in the mirror, staring back at me. Says he nearly crashed his car. I already did that one, didn't I? Billy Ringo likes to play his music loud. Says he never was allowed to become the things he said that he was destined for. Them nights drinking at the bar, talking about his shiny star and his impending incline. He said, I'm only looking for an acceptable level of bullshit I can live with, but something's gotta give. And if I wrote it in a movie, but all indifferently, and be better than the truth, better than the truth. Last time I saw Billy, we were drinking at the bar, women up and made some small talk. He invited me over and he started giving me all the paintings on his wall. Said he wanted me to have them, but he wouldn't say what for. And if I wrote it in a movie, it would end there on the ground, like he said there in the first verse. That's how he would be found. I would spare the movie goer all the bitter, sad details. Better for the truth. I would spare the movie goer all the bitter, sad details. Better than the truth. Thank you.
I don't know what all this stuff's doing here. It's on. I mean, I booked this thing by myself, and I get here and there's all this shit. What could be going on? Surprise. A bit ago, it's going to be a hell of an after party. I can tell you that. I was a little bit earlier talking about Wes Fried, and when Wes died, we were all blindsided because we thought he was going to be okay. He had been sick, but he was like past it. He was getting like great reports. His numbers were good. He had just had like the final stage of his treatments, and he was getting dressed to go home, and he fucking died. And we were unprepared, and it's been a little hard. And I started writing songs when I was 8, basically as my way of dealing with the shit I didn't know how to deal with. And so I was like, well, shit, I sure don't hell want to deal with this. So I thought, well, maybe I'll write a song that somehow captures him. And I spent about 2 months writing it and rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting. I literally spent more time in those 2 months on this song than I've ever spent probably any 10 songs in my entire life. And I hit a wall, and then one day I had this epiphany. It's like, well, there's no actually writing a song to capture him. The trick is to write a song that he would really love. And I know how to do that, because I knew what that motherfucker liked. And I'm pretty sure he'd be okay with this. So this is the Ballad of Cecil McCod. With a heathen smile, the kind of soul for many miles. Grab a seat and stay a while and take us for a spin.
Spin them round and round and say, let the devil have his day. When you're here, we'll cabaret and close the bars again. You say it was fun while it lasted. Sing it pretty, you magnificent bastard. Flying cats and hickster sings, Willard's eyes don't miss a thing. Keep the owls out burning green as we tear up the town. Skeletons climb from the well, your house in Mechanicsville. Richmond sure can cast a spell when the sun goes down. Drowning in the teardrops from your moon, girl. Making sense of a world that spins without you. Spectacular while it lasted. One day short of 25 years ain't enough.
David Barbie, and the Easy Bee, Brad Morgan. Thank you. first song I wrote when I moved to Athens, Georgia, in 1994. And I was living with my dear friend Brandon on Ruth Street, which was really close walking distance to downtown. And I thought I'd died and gone to heaven. I'd never, ever lived anywhere that just blew my mind every day like Athens did for the better part of 21 years. It still does. It still does. And this song's called Murdering Oscar. Thank you.
all songs that I wrote in 94 on Ruth, at Ruth Street. And then those songs got kind of lost for a long, long time. And I always wanted to make a record of those songs, but I was busy doing these other records with this band I was in. And, so I wanted to make a solo record. And label I was on didn't want me to make a solo record. So I made a solo record anyway. Thanks to David Barbie. Chase Walkman's Dusty, 25 years. Golden hits.
Exactly right.
In a better world.
But you know it's out there.
Oh, it's totally out there. I mean, holy shit, the Cramps have the number one song in the world right now. How the fuck did that happen? Isn't that amazing? The Cramps have the biggest song in the world right now. And this summer it was Kate Bush. Adam's House Cat will someday. Dead. There's going to be a Netflix show about somebody obsessed with train songs. And we're your band, motherfuckers. That's what I'm going to say. We're going to do an Adam
Shouse song. Let's say, shall we? Woo!
I wrote this song in 1987 during my parents' divorce, and I witnessed all kinds of carnage. It was like War of the Roses without the chandelier scene. And, literally. And when I wrote it, it's like, man, I just wrote the one. That's the one. That's the song. That's gonna be my hit. That's gonna be my calling card for this life I want. and it wasn't. I'm proud of the song. I always loved it. And I thought it was like a breakthrough song for me as a writer. And the band broke up in 91. I hit the skids hard. I ended up living in Auburn, Alabama. I wasn't in school there. Whatever. I didn't give a shit about any of that. I was there for all the wrong reasons. And fortunately, my sister was there, so she kept me from completely bottoming out, although I damn near bottomed out. But
I'm going to digress a lot. That's just what I
did. And so in 1992 or 93, when I was like rock bottom, no band, no future, no nothing, working shit jobs, not even keeping them very well, the number one song in the world was very similar to my song. It's called Runaway Train. Now, I admit, Runaway Train's not exactly the first time anyone ever, I mean, there's, if you look it up, there's about 50 Runaway Trains out there, but the one that was the really big hit was uncannily similar to my song. I mean, like, you could make a list, and I'm absolutely convinced it's an absolute coincidence. Those guys never heard my song. I much later in life became really close friends with their bass player, lovely, may he rest in peace. Carl was a wonderful guy. They didn't steal my fucking song. But in 1993, when I was on the skids, every time I'd turn on the TV, there was that fucking video with the fucking milk cartons. God damn, I hated them. This song's Runaway Train. Me and my baby's on a runaway train, on a runaway train. Thank you. Grove Street too, and
this song is about when the infamous becomes personal. It's called Walking Around Sins.
Find your mama underneath the jam.
Yeah.
That was Highland, wasn't it?
Highland
Inn. Yeah.
It's Highland Inn. Have they boutiqued it out yet? Totally, it's still there, right?
Yeah.
All right, good.
With every poster or t-shirt you'll tonight, you'll get one night only.
I've been on a solo tour. I haven't seen my, I think, then girlfriend, became my wife, been married almost 19 years. I haven't seen her in a long time, and she was coming to meet me, playing the Earl. And, love the Earl. And I wanted to surprise her, so I wrote her a love song on the back of the Bible. Wrote you a love song on the back of a love song. the song in March of 1996 as a thank you for a friend of mine who was about to pass away. And his name is Gregory Dean Smalley. And he was the founder of the Bubba Palooza Festival. And he was the Redneck Underground and the Star Bar, all those things that I associate with Gregory Dean Smalley. And he had AIDS back in the days when that was just a death sentence. And he knew he was gonna die. And he said that if he was gonna die, he wanted to go out doing the thing that made him live as much as possible. And Greg played about 100 shows the last year he was alive. And I was a sound guy at a club called The Hi-Hat in Athens, Georgia. And I had the honor of doing sound for about 8 of those shows. And it was life-changing. It was 1995, early 96. And you'd see him up there and you knew that he didn't have long. And yet he just rocked every night. And he was also the most belligerent son of a bitch in the world. He didn't say anything. And I opened for him one night, and he liked my songs and invited me to open for him again at Dottie's. And we played Dottie's, and the next week I got invited to play Bubba Palooza for the first time. And I was so excited, and I called him to thank him, and his wife answered and said he was in the hospital and wouldn't be coming home. And I went out and walked my dog, and I wrote the song. It's called The Living Bubba. Tired and wake up pissed. Wonder how I ended up like this. I wonder why things happen like they do. But I don't wonder long, 'cause I got a show to I'm
the Z-Man with Patterson Hood, along with Brad Morgan and Dave Barbie. The City Winery, Atlanta, Georgia, 12/13/2022. SOB, side aboard. DFC, KFC, ZFC, AARP. Shep, CCM4Vs, Lunatech V2. Sound devices, 722. Approximately 45 feet from stage, 6.5 feet in the air. In the sweet spot for show number 370 of 2022.